VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live on this holiday weekend, as we always are, because we think we owe it to you to bring you up-to-date information, answer your questions, and besides, you're probably just all sitting around dreading going out and picking up all those palm fronds that are all over your yards and driveways and stuff. I have deftly avoided doing so myself thus far.
As have I.
But it's coming as soon as the ground will dry out a little bit more. I suppose it's necessary. But that said, we dodged a bullet pretty well here. I think we got very lucky, kept turning north, but it does make you cognizant of things that this last 10 years has been probably a little unusual, and there are things that we should all know and things that we should all do, part of which involves flood insurance, and we'll talk about that on and off for a while. But we do live in the zone. The people from California always ask, how can you stand to live in a place where you have hurricanes? And I said, well, we had 20 days of notice.
You at least get to plan and prepare for them. An earthquake, you don't get any notice.
Yeah. How much notice did you have of the San Francisco quake? Not very much. Anyway, welcome back. Regular listeners, thanks. We depend on you, of course, or wouldn't be worthwhile. And the new people that are being added every week, we keep hearing it in the office. If you have found out from someone or just happened along to the show, I hope you can stick around for the hour and maybe we'll all learn a little bit here and there. I remind everybody every week that all financial shows are not created equal, that most of them are pre-recorded, and you have absolutely no say-so about what is discussed during the program. We are different. We are here live, and we will take questions. We will have a trivia question, but anything you'd like to talk about or comment on, we are the ones who will pick up the phone. Callers go directly to the front, as always, and we welcome any and all topics that you would care to talk about. And Lord knows there's enough going on out there that there should be plenty. In the market this week, it wasn't looking very good for a while, but kind of finished with a little rally. It made me feel a lot better by Friday. So tell us what your viewpoint might be.
Well, I can sum it up with the phrase to hike or not to hike. It seems to be what's driving everything. Once again, the Fed
is, I don't hike. I take a four-wheeler.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising considering.
Yeah, true.
So the Fed is deciding whether or not to raise rates. Yellen has been pretty dovish on overall, but keeps giving indications that she might be less so in the future. And so the big question is, do they hike rates in September or are they going to push it off till December? I'm pretty firmly in the December camp at this point.
It's almost as if the BLS is not on her side.
Yeah, it seems like every month it flip-flops. So you get a great jobs report and then kind of a bad jobs report.
Yeah, as soon as the Fed starts stepping up their hike talk, then they come up with a bad one. So, by the way, there's politics in that too.
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, November elections, December rate hike. Does anyone else think that's a coincidence? I don't. I really don't like this kind of market where everything is hinged on what the Fed does. I'd much rather see it reacting to earnings and corporate profits, but it just seems like we're back in the same cycle that we were in most of the beginning of this year and last year. And so what they're going to do is the reason that the stock market reacts well to bad data is that means there's probably going to be, the rate hike's going to be pushed off. So all good news is bad news, and all bad news is good news in terms of the market right now. And I really dislike this kind of reaction.
Yeah, we have come across as another case of strange bedfellows. Bill Gross, you know Bill Gross,
yep.
Is correct.
PIMCO.
Probably the most famous bond manager that ever walked the face of the earth. I read a little quick article by him this past week and was surprised to find myself in perfect agreement with him. He said the Fed ought to just dispense with all their crazy talk and raise rates twice as often and twice as fast as they've even talked about.
And we're not talking about going back to Jimmy Carter era rates.
No.
We're talking about getting back to a normal level where people can earn money by putting their money into a savings account or a CD, just, you know, your 3-5%, just a normal rate.
We have tried this experiment now for 20 what years?
It's been going on forever, seemingly.
How much better is Japan now than when they first adopted a zero rate? How much better is Japan now since they went negative? How much better is any country than when it went negative? I can't tell you a success story with zero or negative interest rate policy.
What's the definition of insanity?
They're doing it. And what has happened, and I've reported on this, and I've heard a lot of other people who agree with me, the problem with these rates is that older people, more cash-oriented people who don't want to take a lot of risk, there is no return on savings right now. So people who are net savers, and by the way, if you're going to use your money within 5 years, it should not be in the stock market under any circumstances, but people who are net savers and have cash built up, if they could invest it in CDs, money market accounts, and that sort of thing, could earn a little return to live off of, and would not be required to take so much risk, I guess, approaching it from that side. So what we've got now and what we've had for several years now is people taking too much market risk. Over the last few years, it's been wonderful in that it's been propelling the market. But what happens to these people when the inevitable happens and we have a pullback in the market and they're still getting their yield, but now they're scared to death because they don't have their principal intact anymore? This is just plain wrong. I would have absolutely no objection to carrying it on forever if I could show you one case where it actually worked. I cannot show you a case where it works.
No, and I can't either. I've been racking my brain. I've got nothing.
Well, I don't know what it's going to take to inject sanity, but unfortunately, as long as we have a Fed, I don't think we can ever have sanity.
No, and it just seems like every year the market hinges more and more on what their decisions are, and that is absolutely the wrong policy.
That also goes for every central bank across the world. Central banks are an excuse for lazy legislatures to do absolutely nothing but pass the buck. You know, there's a very fine line between delegating authority and passing the buck. It depends what you call it in some cases. Legislators who don't want to say things and do things that might be politically unpopular have found a great way to keep the Fed creating money for them, funding all their liberal projects, propping up the stock market, and doing a lot of artificial things that are not helping any of us. The Fed has to go, and you'll hear me say it over the years, over and over and over. We didn't mention the jobs report. You will hear that it was pretty good. You'll hear that from a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was pretty awful. Oh, no. It was dismal, people. It was absolutely dismal. This economy stinks on ice. It's ridiculous. And I can tell you why. After the break. Meanwhile, after the break, I'm going to say a special thank you to the citizens of Jacksonville. They've really showed up this past weekend, and I'm going to make it public that how much we appreciate it and our friends appreciate it. We will have a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. I'll give that out right after the break. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot to do. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. he's going to be like a one-armed paper hanger the next week or so, I'll tell you. Give Troy a call at 662-9794. Our trivia question this week, sponsored as always by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Everybody is probably aware that real estate prices since the big bubble days in 7 and 8, 9 have recovered quite a lot. In some cases, a whole bunch. Some cases, not so much. But around here, they're doing okay. There is only one housing index that I think is worth even ever looking at, and that's called the Case-Shiller Index. And it takes the same homes and compares them over time rather than doing stupid things like medians. Median home prices don't tell you anything important at all.
They fluctuate month by month based on what the high and low sales are, and it just doesn't.
you can really derive almost nothing from it. I don't know why people do it, but Case-Shiller is different. It actually tracks the change in value of existing properties in 20 cities. Trivia question for today is, in how many of the Case-Shiller index cities, try that a few times, in how many of those have prices actually gone above what they were prior to the bubble? So it's a number of 20 or less. That's the only constraints we know.
And a little housekeeping. Cheryl, if you're listening, I didn't get your gift card out to you from last week, but I promise I will get it in the mail this week.
Ah, it was probably storm preparation.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. All right, a big thank you. Kudos to the citizens of Jacksonville. We call them stormtroopers. You know what they are? The stormtroopers are the friends of the Humane Society. Humane Society, as you know, is undergoing a gigantic expansion. They're building a lot of things. But right now, there's a lot of dogs who are seriously afraid of weather. I used to have one of those. And boy, was that miserable. But a lot of them, because they're sheltered, but they're outside, would have had a very bad time. So they put out the word, Facebook and such, I guess, and asked for stormtroopers, which are people who just simply come in and adopt a dog for a weekend. They're just being troopers about the storm. They don't have to take the dog permanently. They can, certainly. And in fact, it was oversubscribed.
Oh, nice.
How about that? So every dog that needed a home for the weekend got it. They can start returning them now, as of today. And it is just a great, wonderful, compassionate thing that people have done. And I bet there's a lot of adoptions that come out of it, too, because you put a dog in your house for a couple of days and see if you're a sucker like the rest of us. Very seldom would you take it back. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a guess of three. And also have a question.
All right. Well, let's start with your guess is actually low.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. I like that.
I'm glad to hear that.
Me too.
In financial matters of retirement and having to take your money out at a certain time, would you, at age 70 and a half, you have to start taking out, 4% of what you have?
It's not exactly 4, but it's a good estimate, and it's only from certain types of accounts. Roth IRAs do not have that unless they've been inherited.
Okay, just 401Ks and...
And 403Bs and traditional IRAs.
IRAs, okay. And even if you're just making a small amount of money as you're retired now, can you still, until that time, put money into an IRA?
You can put money in up to the level of earned income that you have. So if you make $4,000 a year, you can't put in $6,500. You can
right.
only put in four. But yes, as long as you're working and under 70 and a half, you cannot contribute anymore after 70 and a half.
Okay. And also, would that be better if you put it into a Roth instead of an IRA, unless you're needing it for a tax, a little bit of a tax break or something?
That's a real personal issue, because it does depend exactly on what you said, your taxes. If you're getting a tax break that you need, my rule of thumb is if you're saving 25%, because that's your marginal tax rate, use a traditional. Less than that, use a Roth.
Okay.
So it just depends what you...
Is there any particular age that you... it doesn't matter how much you earn?
For the IRA, no. You have to have as much earned income, you or your spouse, as you are going to deposit into your IRA.
Okay, just plain, though, when you don't have to give your since you're over a certain age, it doesn't matter what you earn. Whether you're making $10,000 or $30,000, $40,000 a year.
Makes no difference. Your age allows you to put in a catch-up contribution once you're 50. Other than that, there are no restrictions up to age 70 and a half.
Okay, but as far as, I'm not worried about putting the money in, as far as being penalized for your Social Security, is there a certain age?
Oh, yes. Social Security starts the day you hit full retirement age. There's no penalty any longer.
Okay.
The first
okay.
day of the month in which you turn. Now, right now, people born 66 years ago, like I was, uh-huh. our full retirement age is our 66th birthday. But
yeah,
starting with people born in 55, I believe it was, they are now going to start inching that up little by little toward age 67.
Okay.
But right now, if you're 66 and want to file, you can make as much money as you want to with absolutely no penalty.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time.
Our pleasure. Thanks for the
great call.
Great
call. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Cheryl, good morning.
Hi there.
How are you?
Hi there. I heard Adam mention it. Thank you,
okay.
Adam.
Yeah, Cheryl, we also have a new rule where you can't win more than once a month.
You can win any amount
of
money.
Oh, yeah. You can take
only
a guess,
award
but,
one,
yeah,
prize.
One card. So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
And that starts today with a new month. So you're still good to go.
Yeah, you can only win once per calendar.
I'm going to guess 8.
Ooh.
Close.
A little high.
Yep.
But we do have a bracket now. 3 was too low,
okay.
8's too high. But thank you. We appreciate
thank
the
you.
Call and watch your mail.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. Now, kind of narrowed that down quickly, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, real quick. And, yeah, thanks for being a loyal listener, Cheryl.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. You want to get started on some technical? Oh, no, we've got
real
a little
quick.
Housekeeping to
yep.
do. That'll
real
take
quick
a,
before we
a
get started
bit.
On that,
yep.
we just found out that our station, AM 600, will be broadcasting the FSU games. Go Noles. So during...
That makes some people real happy. I can't get the smile off his face. In fact, you ought to see his shirt today.
During game days this fall where they have a noon game, we will not be on AM 600. However, you will be able to find us on AM 1600 and FM 100.3. And don't worry, we'll give you plenty of notice once those game times come out that the station will be broadcasting it, and we'll put it out on our social media as well just to make you aware. But it shouldn't happen too often. We just have a few early games. Haven't scheduled them
two
all.
Two dates are booked right now. That'll be the
10th
and the 17th.
Correct, of this month.
So that's next week and the week after. Instead of tuning into 600, tune into 1600 or the FM version at 100.3. And if you tune in 600 and you aren't hearing this today and you hear a football game, they will be advertising that if you want the regular AM, go over to 1600. They will also be streaming over the internet live during those games. They'll be streaming us, not the game.
Right, and you can always find us on TuneIn Radio, and there's a link to that from our website and our Twitter page and Facebook page.
And as always, if you miss that or want to go to the game or something like that, then we will be posting the podcast.
Commercial-free.
Commercial-free podcast.
Usually gets up on Mondays after the show.
So there is no excuse for missing the show is what we're trying to tell you. How about that? All right. Jobs I wanted to wrap up, too.
Oh, yeah.
The actual, I use actual in the same term with government. The reported jobs figures, ADP started out okay on Wednesday, 177,000.
Right.
Neither great nor devastating. But then the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is part of the Department of Labor, came up with 151,000 on the establishment survey, which is not good. But the household survey, they only found 97,000 jobs, and out of those, they made up 106,000.
Wait a second.
Yes. Had it not been for Obama accounting, as I call it, the CES birth-death adjustment, then what we would have had in the household survey was a negative 9,000 jobs for the month. Now, put myself in the place of Janet Yellen sitting there chairing a Fed meeting discussing about raising rates and reading my little what am I supposed to do when X happens. There is not much chance that she could conclude from that this is rate hike time. People, it's not good out there.
Well, you also have to remember that this is not something that can be looked on a one-month basis. You have to take
that
the trend
true.
Into account.
And they did bump July by 20,000,
exactly.
But there was only a net of 1,000 loss with all the adjustments done.
Right, and also some other numbers around that. The unemployment rate remained flat at 4.9%, and the participation rate actually ticked up slightly to 62.8%. But still,
the math on that one left me cold.
It's never makes any sense, but it's still stuck near an all-time low. And weekly hours worked and weekly wages also fell. Not good for our hourly workers.
No, in fact, that was kind of a severe disappointment.
It was.
We're in a period of time where that's been rising. Now, you put all that, superimpose all of that on a GDP that's going nowhere, and what we have is a much-needed election coming up. I can't think of a better way to put it, because it just isn't working, and I got a lot more to say about that, too. But after the break, we're going to talk about your 401ks. We're going to talk about a big, long word that could impact everybody. And again, it's something that you want to know about just to be sure there are things that you might have to do that are precautionary. We still have the trivia question out there, and we will be ready to take calls in just a couple seconds. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Don't go away. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open, 222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. Trivia question is still out there. Out of the 20 cities in the Case-Shiller Index, how many of those cities' home prices have recovered fully and gone above what they were prior to the big housing bubble bursting back about 10 years ago? And we know that 3 is too low, and we know that 8 is too high. So, 401k things you wanted to talk about.
Individual 401ks,
but first,
actually.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our day jobs for a minute, because I want to work into that.
Sure. We are fee-only financial planners located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off Butler Boulevard, so we're easy to get to from all points in the city. There's no excuse for being too far away. We are online as well. Our website is vanweefinancial.com. If you need to know how to spell Van Wee, it's V-A-N-W-I-E. Or for those in the military, Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo. And we do a lot of good stuff on our website. We have a blog that we post to about twice a week, and we cover all sorts of topics, things that we do on air and things that we don't as well. So check back frequently and find us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Van Wee Financial or on Twitter at Van Wee Financial.
Very good. All right. 401k plans.
Individual 401ks.
Yes.
A little bit different than the one you may know about.
If you're self-employed, which includes a sub-S corporation, LLC, and the only employees you can have are yourself and a spouse.
That is correct.
And you have to be making money, because why would you shelter income unless you had some?
I can't think of a reason. Well, I can't.
But what if you satisfy all those things and are making a lot of money?
Then it is a great plan for you.
Yes.
And what it is, it's very similar to the 401k plan that you have at your job. Your average, most big companies have them these days. It's kind of become the industry standard for most companies to have a 401k plan. It's basically the same thing for your own company, and you can even do employer matching, which of course comes out of your profits, just like just like when you work for another company, it comes out of their profits. They put it into your plan. So it has historically been a high-cost option, but that has changed. It is now pretty low cost to do it, and in fact, if you set it up through Schwab, I don't think there are any additional fees to do so.
I have not seen any in the last couple we've set
up. And we can certainly help you out with that. We have several clients that have them, and it's a great way to put away a bunch of money. And you can,
pre-tax,
and you can take a loan from the plan, and it's not an IRA, which is actually a good thing, and I'll get to that why that is a little while later. So an individual 401k plan is also called a solo 401k plan. It's also the biggest restriction that you will see on it, though, is when it comes time to hire an employee, you can no longer use that plan. So if you are planning on growing in that way and not going to have 1099 employees and actually have full-time or part-time employees working for you, you probably will want to look at a SEP IRA or a simple IRA instead.
Well, it can be changed into that. Now, if we can interrupt for just a second. Good morning, Larry.
Very quickly, I would have had a guess on the trivia.
Okay, sure.
5.5 rounds up to 6.
Little low. Sorry. Oh, no, wait. I lied. No. I'm sorry. I lied.
That's actually correct.
I thought it was 7. Adam corrected me, and you are absolutely right. It is 6.
Is that right? Or
yeah. That is right.
Sure.
Yeah. No, it is 6. Sorry about that. I had forgotten that he corrected me. Well, that's fantastic. If you don't mind, I'll put you on hold, and we'll have Alan pick up your address.
I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the call.
Stay dry.
6 cities have recovered. Yeah. Portland, Oregon's the top one.
No, Denver.
Denver first?
Is the top one at 32% higher than the previous high. And Dallas is second at 31%. Portland is actually third at 10%.
But the other half of that number is 20 minus 6 is 14 that have not recovered yet 10 years later.
Right, and at the bottom of that list is Las Vegas at negative 36%.
Yeah, Bob Massey says it's back. It's not all the way back.
No, and Miami and Tampa are both down at 24 and 23% respectively. One thing you'll notice about that, though, is that the cities that saw the biggest, most outrageous gains in 2004 to 2007 are the ones that are on the bottom now, whereas Dallas and Denver didn't see that run up that we saw.
Now, and if you're looking for good news, that means that today's prices are probably a lot more realistic.
Yeah, that's true. I think it is definitely normalized across the board.
And it's still a great time to buy. You got interest rates at historical lows. You might as well take advantage of them since we sit here every week and try to raise them. It's not because we don't want people to buy homes.
No, certainly not.
We look at it from the other standpoint.
All other reasons, but yeah, interest rates are really low, and if you haven't refied, I highly recommend it. It's a good time to do it, and rates are going to go up at some point.
Yes, they are.
Cannot stay this low forever, so do it now. Don't put it off.
Okay, back to individual K-plans.
Right. So for a successful self-employed individual, the biggest benefit of having an individual 401k plan is the contribution limit and the ability to contribute up to $18,000 for tax year 2016 or $24,000 if you're over 50 as an employee contribution.
All right off the top,
too. That means that if your business earns at least $18,000 in net income, you can contribute every dollar of that to an individual 401k plan.
And if you have a spouse, similar.
Exactly. You can do the same for them. It's not the case with a SEP or a simple IRA. With a SEP IRA, you're limited to contributing 25% of your total net income from your business. At $18,000 of net income, you could only contribute $4,500 to a SEP. At $100,000 of net income, you would be able to contribute $43,000 to an individual 401k plan and only $25,000 to a SEP IRA. So if you are looking to shelter money from taxes in the current tax year, it is the way to go.
And if you're growing and you're going to go from just you to finally having an employee and you've got a 401k plan, don't hire that employee until January 2nd.
Exactly.
Because then you can do it again one more year.
So another benefit of the individual 401k plan that you may not be as aware of is that it is not an IRA. So when you go to do a backdoor Roth contribution, they actually look at all the money that you have in IRAs and
including SEPs and simples.
Exactly. And so when you go to do that contribution, if you have other money in IRAs, you are not able to do a clean contribution to a Roth IRA. And therefore, if you take all that money and put it into an individual 401k plan, suddenly you don't have any traditional IRAs or SEPs or simples, and you can do a backdoor Roth conversion without getting hit on the taxes.
That was such a good idea. I did it.
It is a good idea.
That made it a good idea.
definitely.
No, that's not what made it a good idea. That's what made me do it.
That's kind of an advanced financial planning technique that you'll see in situations where people have high incomes and need to put as much money into their retirement accounts as they can. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to call us. Our office number is 685-1505.
Now, let's say you bought the right lotto ticket and it turned out real nice for you. You could come to us and we'd tell you exactly what to do with it. Or you could listen to this next example and he'll tell you what not to do with it.
Ronnie Music Jr. hit the lottery. He won $3 million. Way to go, Ronnie. That was lucky of him. And it turns out that Ronnie may not have the best life skills.
And certainly not the best advisors.
Yeah, I don't think Ronnie probably has advisors.
I think you're probably right.
So Ronnie decided to take his lottery winnings and invest in a meth operation. Surprisingly, Ronnie was caught. And after being caught with over $1 million worth of guns, drugs, and vehicles, Mr. Music is now facing some jail time. And just to give you an idea of the quality of Mr. Music's character, the first thing he's going to do is spend some time in jail for amused contempt, which means that he was probably laughing at the judge, and the judge said, no, you're not going to get out on bail. You're in contempt. Go to jail now. Do not pass go. And he's looking at several decades in a federal prison if he's convicted. Way to go, Mr. Music.
So if you're coming into some money, I would probably suggest calling our office number and maybe talking about some options that would be much less likely to have you land in jail. You can't make this stuff up, folks.
No.
Read it all the time. I got another one I'll do right after the break about a guy who was an ex-football player who used his name to defraud people of $10 million. There are so many red flags in the investing world, and they're not really that hard to avoid. You get carried away when you're starstruck, or you get carried away by big numbers and promises or whatever. Don't do it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And in the final segment, we got a few things to talk about. And if you have any questions you want to get in, we'll always move you to the front. So 222-TALK, that's 904-222-8255. And a reminder that for the next 2 weeks, when you tune into AM 600, you'll be hearing the FSU game. If you'd rather hear the show, and I assume that most of you would.
But I don't blame you if you want to listen to the game.
No, and you will be able to do it on the podcast starting Monday. But tune into AM 1600 those 2 weeks, or 100.3 on the FM dial, and it will be just like normal. All right, words mean things. Big words sometimes have big meanings. Escheatment is one of those. So I thought I'd enlighten everybody in case some of you aren't aware of the word. Actually, anyone out there could be subject to this at any time, and you need to know how to avoid it. Most Americans understand that our laws are derived largely from the old English common law from centuries ago, and we should be grateful for that because it basically established the freedoms that we live under. The foundations of English common law, it, like all successful countries and systems, involves private ownership of land, private property ownership. This is a basic right and freedom that we all take for granted, as we should, and we're very fortunate to have it. And if you think about it, the Chinese people were for years and years barred from owning land. And when they first started to emerge from the darkness and become the power that they're growing into right now was in the 90s, when they finally decided that it was okay for individuals to own land privately. Since then, there are lots of billionaires and multimillionaires, and most of those involve some form of private-based land ownership. So in America today, we have conditions that are changing in the application of escheatment, so I thought I'd better explain what it is. It originally referred to the right of kings in England to reclaim land from people who had no heirs or from criminals who were actually convicted of felonies. Now, I know today felons have a few more privileges. In fact, they're trying to get more and more, especially in Virginia, but I digress. I'll try to stay on subject here for a minute. In the USA, escheatment has been alive and well for a very long time, and what used to trigger it is abandonment. The definition of abandoned property, which could be real property, it could be a savings account, it could be most anything of value. It was abandoned, technically, the definition was, if they send a letter to you at the last known address and the post office can't figure out how to forward it and can't find you and therefore return it as unknown, it was by definition considered abandoned. Now, that usually took about 5 years before they would actually confiscate your property, cheat your property, whatever. So why does this happen? It happens to a lot of people because they have what I call financial clutter. And that just means to me a person or a couple that have way too many bank accounts, investments, insurance policies, IRAs, 401ks, and whatever the heck we're looking at the time. Normal people can handle a certain complexity in their financial lives, but when it gets just too much, then something's going to get overlooked. And this happens a lot. We see people come in with 401ks they haven't rolled over, IRAs they bought from this guy here and that guy there, and they're all sitting out there and nobody cares. Well, you got to start caring about that because things are changing now. With the term abandonment now, it's generally changing. And what now is going to start triggering the escheatment is not just abandonment. It is called inactivity. Well, inactivity used to be satisfied, or activity used to be satisfied, when you, for instance, had a savings account with an automatic reinvestment of the interest, or a brokerage account with an automatic reinvestment of your dividends. Well, that's no longer good enough. Now, a lot of places are saying that that is not considered activity because it's a passive thing. The account does it all by itself. So now you actually have to have an occasional transaction in that account. And it doesn't have to be a complex one, but you have to do something with it or about it. Worse yet, or adding insult to injury, now that time period of 5 years is in many places going down to 3 years. So it is not difficult to imagine now an account sitting there dormant for a three-year period. And if you have moved, for instance, and they can't find you, or they might just take it anyway because they don't have the right address or whatever it is, they can actually undergo this process of escheatment and take your money. We are not, however, bereft of good news. It's really simple to avoid that. And one of the best ways to do it is one of the things we do with new clients when we go through the discovery process. We identify all the accounts, and we try to merge and consolidate whenever possible to simplify. That identifies not only what you've got, but it makes sure it stays active. And further, if you're paying attention to it, your chances of succeeding in whatever your goal for that money is go way, way up. So it's really just a major process of getting organized. Everybody out there ought to remember, if you've got any of these small accounts sitting around here and there and you get occasional paperwork, now it used to be you get a monthly, nowadays it's more likely to be quarterly, and a lot of them are now going to annually if there's nothing going on in there. Keep the paperwork for a while because you may have to go look for it, which brings me to going to look for it. Whether or not you are aware of any of this, notwithstanding, there are some things you ought to do once in a while. There are some websites where you can go in and hunt for money that's been taken over by some level of government that actually belongs to its rightful owner, and it's not difficult to prove it and get it back. I have done it. I promise you it is not difficult. One of those sites is unclaimedassets.com. Another one is usa.gov/unclaimed-money. Another one is missingmoney.com. Another one, fltreasurehunt.org. That's the state-based site for Florida. most states have their own website. So if you have lived in other states at any time in your life, you might want to go Google those and or Bing them. I don't Google anymore because, well, another story. Anyway, go find the websites for those states and put in your pertinent information, and they will tell you if you've got any money that's unclaimed and you can get it back. As I said, I've done it. It's been very successful. There are probably a lot more websites, and the worst case is you're going to spend a little bit of time and recover nothing. The best case is you'll spend a little bit of time and you'll get some money back or property back. Either way, you'll be far better off for knowing the truth. So just give it a shot. And we'll post those websites in our blog when, Monday or Tuesday, something like that, they'll be on.
Probably Monday.
But just
or, Tuesday, actually. Okay.
If you Google the basic concept of unclaimed money or lost money or found money, whatever it is, you'll get taken to a few of them real easily. So just a little something I thought you should know because it's getting a lot easier to have your money fall into the wrong hands.
Yeah.
Shorter, easier. All right. We like to lecture people. I hate that term, but yes, they are. This is a lecture. Don't be fooled when someone uses their name, like professional football players, or their religious affiliations or something like that, to try to talk you into investments. Former Philadelphia Eagles player Merrill Robertson Jr., formerly a broker with Merrill Lynch, started up a little joint venture with a partner named Vaughn, and they promised people fixed returns of 10 to 20% annually with, and I quote, safety and security.
Red flag.
Yeah. And where do you get that?
You don't get that right now.
That's the key. You don't get it. So $6 million later of investors' money, they are being in the process of being caught, and I assume there'll be jail on this. There is no reason for any of you to ever fall into a trap like that. You have to remember the end of the sentence that starts out. If it sounds too good to be true, ta-dum. Also, don't be fooled by fame and fortune. This was a classic Ponzi scheme, and you never, ever, ever have to have one. Remember the rule. You have to have an independent third-party website where you can go and see your money any minute of any day. Never, never violate that rule, and you will not be one of the $6 million worth of victims.
And if you come into money, don't go invest in a meth lab. Come see us.
That's probably a good idea, too. Although I hear the returns are fantastic. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, thanks for being here. Enjoy your holiday weekend. We will be back next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.